This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is your call to action. Get prepared, America. Economy, survival, energy, disasters. This is USAprepares.com. Informative radio, educational radio. Interact now by emailing instructor at USAprepares.com or text at 434-390-7953. Class, please take your seats. Now, your instructor, Vincent Fennelli.
Thanks for listening. We're talking about wood stoves, and we're talking about the flue pipe. And what Frank's talking about is quite interesting and also very important. So his recommendation, as I understand it, is the probe-type thermometer with a dial indicator. And I looked up some on the Internet during the break, and they sort of agree, but not completely agree on the temperatures. But so these are rough numbers. Mm-hmm. So somewhere around 50 degrees Fahrenheit to 260 degrees Fahrenheit at a flue temperature. That means in the pipe that leads the smoke away from the wood stove. 50 degrees Fahrenheit to 260 degrees Fahrenheit is considered a temperature at which creosote will form. So that's kind of too low. Mm-hmm. 260 to 460 is considered the best operation. 460 to 900 is considered too hot. So here's something to think about, class. Paper ignites at 451 degrees Fahrenheit. So I kind of like the flue temperature on the low side of the best operation range, which would be 260 to 460. That's just me, because I've got less heat going out the flue pipe and less chance of a fire starting, because paper burns at ignites at 451 degrees Fahrenheit. Frank, and here's what we do. So if we do have some creosote building up, or the way we prevent it is we'll run a fire that is cool, and then we will increase the temperature, let more air in to the fire to burn out any deposits in the chimney, then bring it back down to a cool fire for more efficiency, and repeat that cycle. What are your thoughts?
No, that's a great way of dealing with that. But, of course, my thought right away is you shouldn't even be having to deal with creosote buildup in a flue pipe or chimney if you follow the instructions of burning wood, proper wood at proper moisture temperature. And keeping an eye on that from a wet seminar or from my wet course, once you have about an eighth I want to call it dust, but the burning particles, that's the time to start cleaning your chimney flue pipe. So I know what you're burning is probably, I don't want to say you're not burning proper wood, because obviously you know what you're doing, but the concept is you should not have any creosote build up on the flue pipe or chimney. If you are, then you should reconsider and decide what is it that you're doing wrong. The combustion material that you will find around the flue pipe and chimney should be very much like dust. I hate cleaning. It's a kind of a charcoal powder kind of thing. And, I always get this feeling, because when I do my chimney cleanings, I have a bag which I make things go in so that the customer can see and on this one. And I says, well, you've been burning your fireplace to the 10th degree. Look how soft and how, like, it's like flour coming out of there, of course, there. Mm-hmm. Their faces just beam with gladness. Then I go into some people, and it's like, I almost have to change this. There's so much creosote.
Yeah. So you have a tool that you use to clean the flue pipe, is that right?
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. We have brushes, and, yeah, we have that. I'm a professional, Germany furnace cleaning guide because of my wet certificate. Yeah, yeah. There's poles and brushes and all sorts of interesting things that you make it go up and come down. It's a beautiful kind of little business for our class students that want something fun, and I'm not scared of ladders. I mean, I get the most beautiful scenery when I'm up there, especially in the fall, because that's when I usually do my my flue pipe maintenance.
Have you ever had to break up a squirrel's nest inside a chimney or a raccoon's nest? How do you do that?
Oh yeah. Had a situation where two raccoons came down the chimney, flue pipe, then couldn't get themselves out. Well, for raccoons, I was taught many, many years ago that noise they hate. So I usually have a portable radio, and I instruct the customers that we kind of set up a place where, like, open a window or something like that in the room where the fireplace is, and just have that radio on overnight and so on and so forth, they will disappear. In terms of things that are right into the flue pipe, I do have chains that you kind of just keep pounding on it until it actually goes down through the whole flue pipe and chimney. I mean, it will all the dirt will end up in the bottom someplace. So that's what you have to do. But again, the same thing, I would put a radio on the bottom of the fireplace because I don't want to really be dealing with dead animals. I love them myself, no matter the raccoons or whatever. So I want them to disappear from there and then deal with what they left behind.
Yeah.
The hardest part in my job is really birds, and I have no idea. I thought birds were such smart creatures, but they get in there, and then they go right into the wood stove, and you're going to clean them. Sometimes all of a sudden they're flying away from inside, but sometimes they're not. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. My father had some squirrels set up shop in the top portion of a chimney back in the 1950s. And I remember what he did. He climbed a tall ladder, an extension ladder. It was a two-story house. And he took a cloth bag, a heavy, heavy, like canvas bag.
Mm-hmm.
And he put some tire chains in it,
mm-hmm.
enough for one tire. And mm-hmm. he tied that to a rope, and he used that as a weight. And he lowered and raised and lowered and raised that
mm-hmm.
bag until it broke through the nest, and
mm-hmm.
then all the sticks and leaves and debris fell down into the
mm-hmm.
into the fireplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one of the things you might want to consider is blocking off the front of the fireplace if it's in your living room or in the house. You know, put a board or something across there so that all this dust doesn't end up going all over the room where the fireplace is.
My first job, that happened. I now carry a lot of plots and a lot of support. You know, when you're learning, I came up north as a city slicker boy. Thought I knew everything. And you know, then people started asking me. So I put my little sign up and then got my wet certificate. So, yeah, sometimes you don't think... when I teach my workers now, I always say you gotta understand the 1-2-3 rule. You've always gotta think 3 steps ahead of what you're doing because it will save you so much time.
I don't know if
you go that route, but it's such a saver because if you're just thinking of what you're doing in the moment, not thinking what you're gonna do 3 steps down the line.
I think another way of terming that would be mini-max regret, right?
Mini-max regret. Oh, yeah. That's, yeah, yes, yes. You're a mini-max regret. Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. So, Frank, do you think that more people are overheating their wood stoves rather than underheating their wood stoves? Or do you think most people are in the right range, the 260 or 460?
After a while, most people are in the right range. Okay, I will find within, like, for example, in this fall's cleanup, I'll probably find two or three wood stoves that are full of creosol. Most of them will be the flaky kind. That is just great. Are they overheating? Well, I mean, that becomes now, can they stand the heat? And probably not. So they will find ways to deal with that heat, because that's something that you can feel. So I'm not there to see, but I am there to kind of tell them from what I see in the flue pipe, because you can see very easy if they're overheating. Your chimneys start to be a bit on the brown side. Do you know what I mean? Like just from very hot heat all the time.
Right.
So,
right.
And if I see that, but that's hardly ever that I see that. I think people that have wood stoves are very proud of their wood stoves, and they're very proud of their techniques. Oh, I only like to use this kind of wood. Oh, it needs to dry for 2 years, like I've said before, which is fine. Like, I don't dispute them. I just simply say, have you thought of getting a moisture just to make sure that what you're doing is right? That's,
Yeah, and you know, I guess when after a while, and it might take years to get this sense, there are moisture meters for farmers to determine if the grass is of the right moisture content for baling. So what happens is you cut the hay or cut the grass, it lies in the sun for a day or two or three, and you determine the moisture content. If there's too much moisture, the hay, once you roll it up, will become moldy.
Mm-hmm.
If you drive off too much moisture and leave it in the sun too long, you destroy the nutrient content. So there's a balance. But after a while, I can just pick up the hay and I can just kind of rattle it in my hand. And I know. Okay, I know.
You know it. Yeah, well,
right. And I think I can do the same thing with wood. And
mm-hmm.
I can certainly tell, but until you get to that point, and I believe
that's
it's
right.
Years.
Until you get to that point, yeah, absolutely.
Then right. Our moisture meters make sense.
Mm-hmm.
And about this,
mm-hmm.
about this thermometer, this probe type thermometer, we're talking about a thermometer kind of like the style that you would use for cooking meat, where you
mm-hmm.
insert the probe into the meat and you get the core temperature, the internal temperature of the meat rather than the temperature
mm-hmm.
of the oven. And so if you think about that class versus a non-probe, a magnetic stick-on to the flue, what Frank said was, if you have a double wall flue pipe, you're going to get a false reading.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to read lower than the actual mm-hmm. temperature. And that could be dangerous. Then
yes.
The other thing is, if you have creosote in your flue pipe, you'll get a false reading, because the creosote
mm-hmm.
will act as an insulator, and the mm-hmm. thermometer won't read accurately
exactly.
as well. So the only yeah. one kind to get would be exactly what Frank's talking about,
and you know,
which is the probe type.
Frustrating thing, I did a little research myself, and most all of them are magnetic. You know, like I'm saying, oh, I'm so glad I'm saying magnetic is okay, but it's not the right one. And
right.
So, see, class, this is where someone like me who's been there and Vince, who's also been there, can tell you. Yeah, because if you were just to go and buy one right now, you'd probably buy them, because every other one that's in Amazon is magnetic. And they make it so, oh, just magnetic, so like so easy. Oh, well, the other one is not that difficult. It tells you what size to do, and you just put that probe in there and let it be it.
Yeah, we'll be right back.
Yeah.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now. For prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Pencils, paper, notebooks, iPads. Class is now in session. USAprepares.com. Educational radio. Set your memory to high power. Your USAprepares.com instructor, Vincent Finelli, at the controls.
Frank's with us. We're talking about heating with wood. Frank, you know, in my pursuit of using less wood to heat our house, I've been interested in making sure the pipes are insulated between the outdoor wood stove and the house. So it's a pretty big planet to heat. So, you know, trying losing heat through the soil, you know, underground pipe is 3 feet down. But in the wintertime, it's darn cold, so it's easy to lose heat there. So I've insulated pretty darn well the hot water pipe and the return pipe from the outdoor wood stove, which is about 88 pipe feet away from the house. And I've experimented with other ways of reducing the wood consumption because it's hard. I mean, the amount of wood that we use is a lot of it. And stacking it and keeping it dry and you know, keeping it covered up so the snow doesn't land on it and the rain and those kinds of things. So I want to use as little as possible. So I experimented with a couple things. There's two ways that you can, that I found that you can reduce the amount of wood you use. One is reduce the amount of air going into the wood stove. So if you have less air, you have less rapid combustion. Another way is to reduce the amount of flue gases that go up the pipe, and that's with a flue damper. So that works as well. And in combination, they work really well. But if you don't pay attention, you can have creosote buildup and have a chimney fire.
Exactly.
So, but how much wood can you save? Literally, class, this is going to sound unbelievable. About a third.
Yeah.
I've been able to save about a third of the amount of wood we use by reducing the amount of air going into the combustion chamber and the amount of exhaust. So I'm slowing down the exhaust, which is literally choking off, choking off the exhaust.
And you bring
your comments, please.
Three beautiful points in there, Vince. First of all, going back from your basic wood stove inside the house, EPA stove will save you that much more in the amount of wood that you they're a little bit more expensive, but if you look for an Environment Protection Agency certified stoves, they will, they claim that instead of using one log, it will be the same as using two logs. One log will be the same as using two logs, so which is about half. You already said a third. So that's so for sure, that is something to keep in mind if you're buying a wood stove for the first time. The second, in terms of dampers, this thing that we've been talking about, make sure that it's going on the after the damper, not before the damper. And there's nothing wrong. I mean, like this thermometer, which is like something you have on the stove, it's so beautiful because you can then play around with that damper to get on the low end of the safe part of burning wood. And so to me, the secondary part of heating your home with wood is the joys of doing all the work that's involved and learning how to use an axe. Someone told me and this is kind of funny. When I first came up here, someone was showing me how to cut wood at their cottage. So I was lifting that axe right in front of me and then coming down, hardly breaking that log in half. And the gentleman says, "That's not the way you do it. You kind of swing it over and around and down." Oh, man, what a difference that made just knowing that one little trick.
Yeah. And, my dad said, wood heats twice, once when you cut it and once when you burn it. But I think it heats more than that. I think it heats maybe five times, once when you cut it and then when you haul it and then when you stack it and then when you unstack it and then when you burn it.
Yeah.
And then when you clean up the ash.
Yeah.
Frank, we have such a big ash pile. And no kidding. This would fill our ash pile for 1 year would fill the back of a pickup truck heaped up. I mean, no exaggeration, literally. And we take that with a lime spreader and we spread it in the fields.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. So we have like the biochar and some of the unburned nuggets, if you will, of the wood plus the ash, and it's great.
Well, it's Mrs. Pacheco always loves when I bring a little bag of ash home for her flowers.
absolutely. And the microbes set up shop in there and do the heavy lifting inside the soil. What a great way to go.
When we come back, we're going to talk about your wood stove outside, okay, Frank?
Sure. Be glad to. Frank and I will be right back. Frank Pacheco. In Canada.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
USA USA News Update. President Biden calling on Republicans in Congress to keep their word after passing a short-term funding bill to avoid a government shutdown. Congressman Matt Gaetz intends to make a motion this week to oust Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House. California won't be giving unemployment checks to workers on strike, with Democratic Governor Gavin Newsom vetoing a bill Saturday that had been inspired by high-profile work stoppages in Hollywood and the hotel industry. Newsom says he supports workers and often benefits from campaign contributions from labor unions, but he vetoed the bill because the fund the state uses to pay unemployment benefits will be nearly $20 billion in debt by the end of the year. Every consumer's cell phone will be part of a nationwide emergency alert this coming Wednesday at 2:20 p.m. Eastern Time. Corey Myers, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy. And Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Watch it.
I know there's something happening.
It's going to be sliding.
What are today's hot?
Why can't you have God here?
Take my...
When you go to
the
DC
for 2 seconds.
Class is back in session. Turn up the volume. USAPrepares.com with the original survival economist, Vincent Fennelly.
Frank's with us. We're talking about heating with wood. Frank, did you have some questions, or you want to talk about outdoor wood furnaces?
No, I mean, as I say, 50% of my stoves that are wood products that I'm going to certify, obviously, is wood stoves in the house, followed by fireplaces and so on. But the next major category is outside wood stoves. Up here, people have lots of land and 1960s. As a matter, I was embarrassed when I moved up here. I have about almost 2 acres. And I was so proud because where I used to live only had like 12 feet in front of my house. And I have 300 acres. Oh, I have 100 acres. So I stopped saying how much acreage I have, except now. All of our students will know. But, yeah, and so I want to beautiful. I mean, if you have the wood and a bit of money, because they're not cheap unless you buy them secondhand, it's the most, up here in Canada, it's a commitment of almost $30,000 to have an outside wood stove. Now, I don't know in the United States what it is, but in terms of a complete installation. And some of the things that I want to tell our students to keep an eye out for, if you do have a lot of land and wood or is able to get wood at reasonable cost, then plan your outside wood stove properly, i.e., that thing will produce you so much hot water that you need to use it to its full extent to make sense. Obviously, heating the hot water in the house is a great choice. Floor heating, like the last project I did, this is what I had. We had the hot water system for them. We had the floor heating, basement floor heating. That's the only place that I really believe in floor heating, not every other floor. And then we had a coil in the furnace that did the forced air system. So those are three very important things that you can use that wood stove, because that wood stove outside will be burning 24/7. Isn't that right, Vince? Like you never shut yours off.
Oh yeah, yeah. No. We probably shut it off once in 10 years, mm-hmm. but we didn't have to. And mm-hmm. yes, you just keep it burning. And the one that we have is if you want to know, class, the brand name is Central Boiler.
Central Boiler.
Central. Yeah, boiler, B-O-I-L-E-R, mm-hmm. or you can go to centralboiler.com,
mm-hmm.
and the model we have is a CL, as in classic, 6048, which means that the firebox is 60 inches deep, 5 feet deep, by 48 inches wide. It's a huge firebox,
mm-hmm.
and that was a very important consideration for mm-hmm. us, because I wanted to make sure that we could load that thing up and walk away and not fill it many, many times a day.
Mm-hmm.
So a small firebox means you're going to fill it more often. Large firebox, not so often. And there are many things to consider. So, Frank, are you familiar with this particular brand?
I am, right. It's a very common one up here, yes. I am familiar with it, yes.
Mm-hmm. And this is the classic design
mm-hmm.
that I think was slated to be banned by the federal government.
Yes.
Because it has a natural draft,
mm-hmm.
which means that there's a damper that opens in the front door hood. Air just enters naturally. The fire heats up the air, and the hot air goes out the chimney. There's no blower that blows air into the firebox. Many of them have blowers. I preferred one that did not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do you want to talk about the differences between one that has a blower and one that doesn't, Frank? Is that something you want to talk about?
Well, it just helps with combustion one way or the other. The natural, obviously. Yeah. Does your door go up, open, and close with a temperature of some sort at all? Like a little?
Oh, yes,
kind of,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That's what I thought.
There's a solenoid.
Mm-hmm.
There's a solenoid that operates
mm-hmm.
the hinged
right.
damper in the front. And it allows air in. And the damper has three settings. So you can have it open, you know, the minimum amount, an average amount, and then more.
Mm-hmm.
So you can let a little bit of air, normal,
yeah.
or more air in. And the solenoid just opens or closes
yeah.
that damper that you set
yeah.
for how much it's going to open.
Mm-hmm.
And it's controlled by a computer control, very
mm-hmm.
simple computer control, that you set the minimum water jacket temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, believe
yeah.
it or not, I have ours set right now for 158 degrees, which is very, 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 very,
yeah.
very low. Okay?
Yeah.
And the idea is I want the water pump that circulates the hot water to last the longest. And I've been experimenting with different temperatures. And we can successfully burn up a water pump in a year and a half, or if at 175 degrees, or at 158 degrees, I think they're going to go 4 years. So I really like the lower temperature. I like the idea of the natural draft, because it's one less thing to fail.
Exactly.
And it just works. But the downside is that you have a little bit less complete combustion. It's less.
Yeah.
And it doesn't fire up as quickly. So it takes longer to fire up, longer to generate the heat. But we overcame that with installing a wood stove that's probably one size bigger than would be recommended, which you recommended the last class. Go bigger.
Yep. Yeah. And because I don't have one myself, but I've seen and talked to customers that have had them, these are some of the things. If you're going to go that route, and believe me, I believe in them because I've seen what heat they put out, and what people tell me they're it's causing them to heat their house. But there are certain considerations. The first one is make sure that you install that the smoke is not blowing at your house. I've gone back to a number of clients because I cleaned them too. And what happened? And the smoke is getting into the... So design the place where you're going to put this stove, this wood stove outside properly. You said you had about 80-foot lines. Well, that's pretty far away from the house, yes. Some people don't want to go that far. So they'll have it about 20, 30 feet from the house. And, of course, that thing is 24/7 smoke. And if they put it in a place where the wind is blowing towards the house, you can see what they're going to do.
And here's what we did, Frank. Here's exactly what we did. So we had the backyard, and we thought, okay, where's the best place to put this
there
wood stove?
Yeah.
And we had to consider distance, because the farther you are away from the house with this underground plumbing, the more heat you're going to lose. There's no question about it. It's physics. And then so what we did was we took a little, like a pail, actually a metal barrel, a small one, and we lit fires in it. At many times during the day and during the night, over a period of several weeks.
That's amazing.
And we wanted to see which way the smoke blew. And so we raised this thing up. I'm talking about, you know, just make a smoky small fire when it's safe, and watch. And and so we put the outdoor wood stove where the smoke would blow away from the house. And here's the interesting thing. People would come here, and they'd say, I heard you all heated with wood. Yeah. And you, how is it running now? Yeah. How come we can't smell it? So literally, very seldom do we smell the wood smoke.
Yeah.
But, you know, and here's the thing, Frank. It takes more time to do it that way. It takes more time to figure it out that way. And we didn't rely on just one day's worth of wind. We spent, you know, over several weeks.
Wow. That's amazing.
And when I say it takes me a long time to do things, it takes me a long time.
But, you know, it's so sad to know that someone has spent $30,000 and it's there, not being used. So, you know, that's a great, great, great in class students. That what Vince just said is, if you are thinking of putting a wood stove outside, do that, because it is one of the biggest complaints that I have when I go out. Of course, the other one is, well, if I need to go away on some sort of vacation, don't go on vacation, stay at home. Well, what do I do all this water? Because do you use glycol in your system?
No. And I'll tell you, there is an answer. There is an answer to that, because I think where you're going with that, Frank, is that, okay, so if you have a wood stove and it's outside and the temperature is below freezing, and you run out of firewood. So let's say you go away for 3 days, and you fill up that wood stove as much as you can, and you have it running at the minimum amount of heat so your house doesn't freeze, your plumbing in your house doesn't freeze, and the wood water jacket, the wood stove water jacket doesn't freeze, because that's outside. That is a real problem. So if you go with a larger wood stove with a larger firebox, you can have a longer runtime between fills of wood. And the other thing is the house is a heat sink. Mm-hmm. And so by running the water through, you know, just having that pump run 24/7, it can heat the house. And then if the wood stove goes out, the house then heats the wood stove.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it'll cool the house, that's for sure, but it'll prevent, you know, major damage for probably a week or so.
Yeah.
But so no, we don't use ethylene glycol. We could, but I'm concerned about when it leaks, and there'll be some time when the water jacket leaks, and that's another thing. Do you go with a stainless steel water jacket, or do you go with just carbon steel?
Yeah.
And I agonized over this, and we went with carbon steel because the stainless steel was cracking, and it was failing faster than the carbon steel.
Wow.
And then I thought, you know what? When the water jacket fails, what we'll do is we've got sheet steel, and we'll just peel off the insulation, and we'll just weld some steel plates back on it, and we'll be good to go again for another 30 years. I mean, those are our thoughts.
I love your third ear. Good for you. Yeah. But for the class, and because obviously I'm here in front of it, and I'd like to give the details. If you live in a cold climate, I kind of recommend glycol to show that doesn't happen. Obviously, here in Canada, we do like to go 4 feet under. Past the frost line, but I don't know if it's Cadillac, but there are units that they have a burner beside it that you can actually heat up just in case you ran out of hot water, and just in case you went on holidays, just in case any of this thing. Have you ever heard of them, Vince?
Yeah, you're talking about a dual burner.
There's a burner on the side of the outside
firebox
that actually keeps the hot water going.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
And what class, literally ours runs 24/7 every day, summer, winter, spring, fall. And it literally heats the hot water for domestic uses, for washing dishes, for taking showers, typical domestic uses. And literally, I'm thinking somewhere maybe $120 to $140, somewhere around there per year for wood. That's for a whole year.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be well over $1,000 a year if we were heating with propane.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what's the break-even point? Let's talk about that when we come
back. This is an urgent warning. America is heading for another major financial disaster at an alarming rate. We could see stock prices fall as much as 50%, but this time the crash could be more violent and come faster than you ever imagined. We are Advantage Gold, America's most trusted precious metals company, and we are here to sound the alarm that winter is coming for investors. And now is the time to take actions that may help protect and secure your portfolio with physical precious metals. Want to help protect your hard-earned money before it's too late? Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and request our free gold and silver survival kit today. Mention that you heard us on the radio and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver coins. The number is 800-900-8000. Call now to get your free survival kit and see if you qualify for $1,000 in free silver today.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Jose works on a farm. Safety is important. His boss calls 811 to determine where it's okay to dig. This protects Jose from hitting an underground line and from serious injury. Because Jose can't tell exactly where or how deep the lines are, he doesn't dig until 811 tells him it's safe. The most important thing is that Jose works safe and goes home to his family. For more information, visit farmsafe811.org. A message from the Pipeline Operators for Ag Safety Campaign.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
No whining. Only expert guests and seasoned opinions. Instruction that matters. At the controls, Vincent Finelli.
You know, Frank, I'm looking at the ranking of USA Prepares today against everybody else who's running live. This is a record. Absolute record for USA Prepares. Let me tell you who it's ahead of, okay? So WINS, which is News Radio 24/7, ahead of that. Ahead of Lindell TV, ahead of Mark Levin. Let's see. Ahead of Morning Edition, which is National Public Radio. Ahead of WNYC, which is New York City Radio. Ahead of Bill Handel, Handel on the Law, which is a great broadcast. On and on and on. I think people are paying attention to what they need to know rather than politics that they can't do anything about.
Exactly, Vince. And that's why your programs, your classes are so worthwhile, because it doesn't really matter what day one tunes in to USA Prepares. There's so much information to just keep hold of and keep it in your mind, and I'm sure our students know that, and that's why they tune in. I mean, you can only hear a news so many times in a day, but you know, practical information, things that like, for example, that thing that you did with the with the smoke barrels. I can just see myself and you doing all these smoke barrels around you. I mean, that, like, where else are you going to hear that from someone who's designing outside wood stove, right? That's amazing. Yeah.
It's what we do is we provide practical information based on things that we have literally done.
Absolutely.
So, Frank, I mentioned break-even analysis.
Yeah.
When I was studying, we're not going to be teaching economics today, but here's a point. When I was studying economics, classical economics back in the 1970s at the university, I was taught that break even is how long is it before the thing that you're doing pays for itself?
Mm-hmm.
And what they said was 48 months or less. If it's less than 48 months or equal to 48 months, you ought to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's more than that, well, think about it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here is the break-even analysis of our wood stove. So for us to do it over 10 years ago, it was about $8,000. Now it's a lot more expensive than that.
Mm-hmm.
The unit that we bought was about $8,000. We did it. We installed it ourselves. The same unit today is $14,000. So it's gone up. It weighs a little over 2,000 pounds, so it's got a lot of metal in it. Well, at $1,000 a year for propane, just the fuel cost, we would be paying for that unit in 8 years. But that's not a really fair comparison because that doesn't include the cost of what a propane stove would have cost or propane heater would have cost. So let's say about $4,000 for that versus $8,000 for the wood stove. So that means that the wood stove would be $4,000 more than a propane stove. So that means the break-even point is 4 years. And the thing that, but that's not the whole equation, because what the wood stove does is it gets you independence from the propane company,
exactly,
from the fuel supplier, whether it be natural gas or fuel oil or propane. It can get you independence because you can, if you have a source of free wood, which we happen to have, we can just haul it out of the woods. It just falls down. Tree limbs fall down or trees fall down. We just haul them out of the woods and cut it up. So for us, it's independence, which is a really big part of the equation. And then there's the financial component, which is we're not spending $1,000 a year. Now, when we first started, we probably could have spent maybe $400 a year on propane. But now it's $1,000. So it keeps going up and up, and there's no end in sight.
And I believe EPA has come. They've come up with newer stoves that will even be more efficient and so on and so forth. And let us not forget that, yes, wood is still a renewable energy. I mean, you could replant forests and things like that. And if it's done wisely, it's unlike propane or oil or gasoline, huh?
Yeah. Frank, here's a very interesting thing, and this is something that many people will absolutely not believe that I'm saying this, but it's true. So our wood stove, there's just a cluster of three trees that were near it. They're just little saplings. I thought, you know what, we'll just leave them there for now, and if we have to, we'll take them down later. Well, they love the smoke of the wood stove, and now I'm being very serious. There are other trees that were the same size around them that are nowhere near the size. These trees love the carbon dioxide.
They
have grown faster and more vigorously than all the trees around them of the same species.
Mm.
So, you know, when we say that, burning fuel is wood is dangerous. Trees love it. I mean, and what I'll do is I'll put a picture of that in the book.
Yeah.
And
it's
absolutely
so
true.
So fun. So fun doing this with you. Because you know so much. And you kind of just, I love being your sidekick, and I'm hoping that the students are enjoying what we have to say. I'm sure they are because it's showing in the. All right. But yeah, next week we're going to talk about hydronics.
Ah, that sounds good. So we're talking about heating with loops in the floor, that kind of thing,
that kind of,
and baseboard, and
foam, and something else that I have that will be fun to hear. I'll keep it a secret, you know, and just keep that little the hook.
I need to pay my taxes. What are my payment options?
The IRS has several options for paying your taxes. You can pay with IRS Direct Pay, a debit or credit card, or with an electronic funds withdrawal when you e-file your return. If you can't pay the full amount, consider paying over time with an online payment agreement or our Offer in Compromise program. Both tools are available on IRS.gov. Go to IRS.gov/payment to find an option that is best suited for you.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube.
6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.